Amen. Just remain standing if you will. Turn to Ephesians chapter number 5. Amen. While you're turning, let me say, I mentioned about those that are not with us, be in prayer for them. Keep Miss Stephanie and Grace in your prayers. They're working their way this way. Brother Josh thinks they're working mighty slow. Amen. But they're working this way. Amen. And be in prayer that they make it safe in good time. And God will bless with that as well. Amen. Well, I appreciate the song we just sang. Oh, how I love Jesus. That goes along with what I was just saying, that He's what's important. Amen. And keep our focus on Him and ask the Lord to help us to see Him and to hear from Him and obey Him in the service tonight. Amen. Well, you probably know by me going back to Ephesians chapter number 5 that I'm going back to our duties of husbands and wives. And I debated about what to do and tried to pray about what to do and felt like this would be right. I didn't deal with this last week. And so it's been a while since we have, but we're looking at the special duty of the wife. We've dealt with the duties of both alike, then the special duty of the husband, now the special duty of the wife. And Lord willing, after tonight's message, we'll move on to the last thing, and that is, and not the last sermon, but the last part of it, that deals with how to fulfill these duties, how we work together and fulfill these duties. So now, having said that, Ephesians chapter number 5, and verse number 33 is our verse. The Bible says, "Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself. And the wife, see that she reverence her husband." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Bell, would you lead us in prayer, please? Yes. Help us, Lord. Yes. 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 Amen. Amen. All right. You can be seated. Thank you for standing and thank you for the prayer. Amen. Well, my message tonight will be short. I won't say sweet, but it'll be short. And I said before, I did it with the husbands. I am doing it with the wives. Really, our responsibilities are so weighty, so heavy that it's good for us to chew on it a little bit. Good for us to think on it a little bit. We were talking yesterday with the men, some of us, as we were working outside, talking about the home and the importance of the home. And Brother Kuhn mentioned that there's a great need for preaching on the home, not just husbands and wives, but in the family, the parents and the children. And that's what Brother Jacob and I were talking about that and led us into that. But that the need for that, I told him that at Vision in the year 2000 when I preached this series on the duties of husbands and wives, when I finished, I started on the parents and children. And I actually preached 52 messages on parents and children, put it together into two different, well, it's actually one book, but we divided it into two different volumes, and a large thing in that. And my wife mentioned to me, I might ought to pray about doing that at the end of this and see where we go with that. So I'm just making that a matter of prayer and see what He does have us to do. But my point is this, is that so much of what goes on in our world is really ripple effect because of what goes on in homes.
Right.
And really, we learn how to relate to others right in the home. We learn that before we ever go out into the world. We learn how to relate to others. And so, and matter of fact, we learn that never, I'll just say this before I get into my thing. It doesn't matter if you're the husband or if you're the wife or if you're the parent or you're the child. Nobody gets their way all the time. There's got to be a give and take. Nobody's always right. Amen. Nobody's always right. There's times that we think we're right, and we ought to try to be right. It shouldn't be that we say, well, it don't matter. It's all going to pan out in the end, because it does matter. And especially these ideas and things that we're working with in the home are very, very important. So it matters a lot. But a lot of what goes on in our world is because of what goes on within the home. So anyway, having said that, tonight we're dealing with the special duty of the wife. I mentioned that the special duty of the husband is to love his wife. That's the most important. Her duty towards him is to reverence him. That is, to respect him is how that we use that today. And this will be our fourth look at this special duty of the wife. We covered already the dimensions of her love, and we covered the description of her love. We began the last time we looked at it, a few weeks back, to deal with the demonstration of the godly wife's reverence. I said love. It's her reverence. She demonstrates her reverence, we said, first of all, by her words. And secondly, she demonstrates her reverence to him by her deeds. We used the same idea with the husband showing his love for his wife. But we talked about how, last time, how that she respects her husband by speaking respectfully of him in his absence. And I used about how Sarah, in her thinking about Abraham, called him Lord. That wasn't words that came out of her mouth. They may have later. But by the way, most of the time, words that come out of our mouth generally have been in our thought process before. If not, you're in trouble. If you don't think about what you say, you need to start. Amen. Amen. You need to start thinking about what you say. And most of the time we think it, and then we say it, and it works its way out. So she thought respectfully of him. She spoke respectfully of him in his absence. And then she spoke respectfully of him and to him in his presence. That's when he is there. And so that was the process that we dealt with last time. Now, tonight I want to think about this, how she demonstrates her reverence to her husband by her deeds and the works that she does, the actions that she does. And so some things that the wife can do to demonstrate her reverence towards her husband. Three things I want to deal with. And by the way, I thought about this. You ladies are getting off light. When I dealt with the men with the dimension, I said his love for her ought to be a four-dimensional love. When I talked about the wife's reverence for her husband, I only gave you a three-dimensional. When I talked about the man, the deeds that he did to show, to prove, to demonstrate his love, I had six things for the men. And now for the ladies, I've just got three. And it's not because I don't think you can do them. Hey, man, it's because I think these three things cover some pretty wide territory. And so I think it'll be a help to us anyway. Amen? And I trust that it will. So, some deeds that she can do. She can prove her love to him in the deeds that she does. First of all, she obeys his directions and his restraints. When he says this is what you ought to do, she does it. When he says you shouldn't do that, she doesn't do that. Amen. That shows respect. It shows reverence for his authority. I used the idea already about Sarah and Abraham. I'll go back to that. And that's, matter of fact, Peter talked about, and we'll go there in a minute, but whose daughters ye are. He talked about that deal, what Sarah did in obeying Abraham and in honoring Abraham. And Sarah obeyed Abraham, and she is a worthy model. She is a worthy example in that. You remember that when God and two angels, three men appeared to Abraham. Abraham recognized one of them was the Lord. The two angels wound up going on down to Sodom, but they all stopped in and talked with Abraham. And Abraham decided to have a meal for them. Abraham did not go out and prepare the meal. Abraham turned to Sarah and told Sarah to prepare the meal. Amen. Genesis 18, verse 6. Here's what Abraham said. Make ready 3 measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth. You know what she did? She did exactly what he said. She obeyed him promptly. Amen. She obeyed him promptly. She did exactly what he said and did it quick. She didn't, as far as we can tell, she didn't grumble about it. She didn't hesitate about it. She just put into action his wishes and what he'd ask her to do. Now, I don't believe that Abraham put his thumb on her and said, all right, listen here, woman. No. I think that Abraham had lived a life of love towards her. She respected him. She reverenced him enough that she just did what he said to do. She didn't, maybe she didn't know who these three men was. It didn't matter. She didn't say, well, Abraham, you're always bringing people over here and they're always eating off our table and I'm getting tired of this. She didn't do that. Amen. Amen. You've heard me say this before. I think it's, probably needs to be said because it needs to be dealt with more and more. That it's sad that you see sometimes a lady, maybe a young lady or not, but it's somebody that everything in the office is just, can I get you anything else, sweetheart? Can I do anything for you? Do you need anything else, honey? Then the husband comes home and says, could I have a glass of ice water? And she says, get it yourself, you old man. It ought not be that way.
Amen.
It ought not be that way. Well, Sarah obeyed Abraham. She did it, and she did it promptly. Look at 1 Peter chapter number 3, that quote that I've read to you so many times, but we'll read it again. 1 Peter chapter number 3, we dealt with that part of Sarah calling Abraham Lord. Verse number 6, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham. Let me back up to verse 5 because I think that fits. It's part of the sentence. It fits in there. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement. Now here's what I want you to notice. Two or three things I want to bring out about that. We focused on that Sarah called him Lord, but today the focus is on Sarah obeyed Abraham.
Right.
And that's actually the context of the scripture. Because he talks about in verse number 5 that they were in subjection to their own husbands. They were obedient to their own husbands. That's what it goes to. They recognized the authority of their own husbands. And I think that's very important that we see that in this point. Another thing that I notice is that he says, you're her daughter if you're not afraid with any amazement. In other words, if you're not afraid to trust God, as Sarah wasn't afraid to trust God. He says this about Sarah, for after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God. There's not a whole lot of women in Hebrews chapter 11, but Sarah's there.
That's right.
You know what she's there for? She's there because she trusted God. She judged Him faithful. Amen. Brother Larry Wells preached a message one time. I'd love to have heard it. I just heard him tell about it. He preached a message one time in a funeral, and he titled it, Who's Gonna Judge the Judge? Sarah judged the judge. She judged him faithful. What he'd promised, he'd do. Sometimes, I know this, sometimes submitting to your husband is not an easy task, but it's a task of faith. Amen. Why should you do it? Because God said. And you can believe God. You can trust God. Amen. So not only does Peter recommend wives to think well of their husbands and respect him with their thoughts and even with their words, but he clearly recommends obeying their husbands and his authority to give them directions. Amen. And so she, the wife, can show her reverence to her husband by obeying his directions and his restraints. I believe we know that the Bible tells us that the wife is duty-bound by the Scriptures to obey her husband in everything that is not contrary to the will of God. Amen. And I should say this, to the revealed will of God. Just because I don't like it or you don't like it does not mean it's not the will of God. Amen. God reveals His will through His Word, and the wife is to obey her husband in everything. That's, we could go through and through the Scriptures that talk about that. Obey their husband in everything as long as it is not contrary to the revealed Word of God. And in that case, when He tells her to do something that's contrary to the will of God, I believe she ought to respectfully and honorably say, I can't do that. That's breaking the Word of God. That's breaking the commandments of God. Amen. For example, if he tells her, you're not allowed to read your Bible anymore, that's not right. He can't tell you that. God said we're supposed to read the Word. If he says, you can't pray, you're supposed to keep on praying. Amen. Again, respectfully. If he says you can't go to the house of God, you can't honor the Lord's Day, and all these different things, doesn't matter how stern he is about that, you have the right, because God said, for you to obey his word. Amen. I remember hearing the story, said this old lady had been going to church, her husband was a drunkard, and she'd always go every Sunday. She'd get up early, get ready, walk to church. She walked a few miles to church, and then Sunday night she'd go back. And said this one particular time, she'd be in Sunday morning. Of course, he is in the bed. He's sleeping off a drunk. She came back, and that evening, when he got up and about and stirred about, that evening she started getting ready to go again. And as she picked up her Bible and started to the door, he said, Maud, if you go out that door, I'm going to blow your brains out. You're not going to church tonight. You know what she said? She said, go ahead, Charlie. I'm either going to the house of God down here or the house of God up there. Amen. Opened the door and walked out. Praise God. Amen. I don't know if I'd be that brave or not. My name's not Maud or Charlie. Amen. But nonetheless, I believe the wife is duty-bound to obey her husband as long as it does not contradict the Word of God. Amen. She should never do the things that God said or commanded not to do. Amen. Other than that, she is to obey her husband. I have heard and read, I know some famous books that the preachers say that the wife is to even obey her husband when he says for her to do wrong. And they use Sarah as an example when Abraham told Sarah to lie, and Sarah did lie for him. And they say, these preachers say, well, you know, she ought to go ahead and obey her husband because then she's not under God's authority, she's under her husband's authority. Oh, no. Under her husband's authority, but still under God's authority. The husband does not have the right to usurp God's authority. He does not have the right to push God off his throne and make himself God. Oh, no. No, he doesn't have that right. Amen. I could give you a lot of illustrations. Now, let me just throw you one illustration there when you think about that. I'll just turn and read it. In the book of Acts, turn there if you will. Acts chapter number 4, a very familiar story. The disciples had gone up to pray. They had been, they'd healed a man and got into some trouble because of it. And look at verse number, chapter 4, verse number 18. This is the Sanhedrin court, the Jews' highest court. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. You know what Peter said? We ought to obey God rather than man. Now here's what Peter and John were under the jurisdiction and the authority of the Sanhedrin court. They were under their authority. But when the Sanhedrin court said, you can't speak or teach in Jesus' name, they were under God's authority. A higher authority. Amen. And so Peter said, you guys are going to have to figure out whether we ought to obey you more than God. Amen. In other words, he said, God's the higher authority and you're under his authority as well as we're under yours. And we can't disobey our God. Amen. I say this is the case of the woman with the husband. He is her authority, but she's under an even higher authority as well as he is. And that is the authority of God. Amen. And so the godly wife can show her reverence towards her husband in that she does what he asks and what he requires. But ultimately, her reverence, though reverence in him, her reverence for her God must be much more. Amen. When this saying she reverenced her husband does not mean she makes him her God. Amen. Now she might offer him a burnt sacrifice every now and then. That's a joke.
Amen.
Not meaning she's worshiping him. Amen. But she doesn't worship her husband. She worships her God. Amen. Here's one of the commandments of God in Titus chapter number 2, if you'll look with me over there. It's just one of the commandments. I could run several, and I purposefully kept this small and short as I can to get it out again, because these are weighty things. I know it goes against the grain of what our society teaches and tells today. Titus chapter number 2 and verse number 4. It's talking about what the older women are to teach the younger women, all right? That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. There's two phrases there I want to point out specifically. First of all, obedient to their own husbands. That's not my opinion. That's God's opinion. And God told Paul to tell Titus to instruct the older women to teach the younger women that. Rather than saying, honey, now if he ever says anything you don't like, you just come on home. No, that's not how you teach them. Amen. When we have the marriage vows, still in the vows we use, it says that she will honor and obey her husband. Isn't that right?
Amen.
I know some of them are taking that out, but I don't think it ought to be taken out because it's still biblical.
Amen.
Amen. I realize we're living today, they say, well, that's patriarchal. It's biblical. It's best. God does know what's best. Amen. But the other phrase I want you to notice is that it said she's to be a keeper at home. Now, we like to twist that and make it say, but just plain, we understand what it means. Amen. Matter of fact, if you want to look it up, Strong's Exhaustive Concordance, the Greek word here, I failed to write down the number, but the Greek word is O-I-K-O-U-R-O-S, and it means, here's the definition, quote, caring for the house, working at home, keeping at home, staying at home, and taking care of household affairs. Now, I've heard people say, well, I keep the house. It didn't say keep the house. It said keep at. Keep at home. Amen. To be a keeper at home. Now, it's instructed she's to keep at home. That doesn't mean she's to keep at the office. It doesn't mean she's to keep at Walmart. Doesn't mean she's to keep at the mall. Amen. Doesn't mean she's to keep at the neighbor's house. It doesn't mean she's to keep at her parents' house. She's to keep at home. Amen. She's to keep at home. Well, again, it should be noticed back in 1 Peter chapter number 3 that this reverence that the godly wife gives to her husband is that she submits to her husband. She submits to him. Look with me, if you will, 1 Peter chapter 3. I touched on it when we looked at those earlier verses, verse number 6, 5 and 6, but we're going to look at verse 1 and 2. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. Now, let me stop a minute. Again, that's not talking about somebody else's husband, but you're obeying your husband. Amen. But this is talking about a husband that does not obey the Word of God. This is talking about a lost husband. He says, likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. That phrase, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wife. It's not talking about her talk. It's talking about her actions. They're won by her action. How's that? They observe her reverence to them. They can see her reverence towards them, that she's living for the glory of God. Amen. Amen. Matter of fact, he says, according to Titus, that if we don't live that way, we may be given cause for people to blaspheme. Amen. He says, let the word of God be not blasphemed in Titus chapter 2, verse 5. He said, if we're not careful with the things we do, we might cause the Word of God to be blasphemed. Now, I'll say this, and this is the first point, and I'm moving on after this. I'm talking about the home being important. The home is her proper place. She is the beauty of the home. Amen. I believe that. That is her realm. That is her business. That is where she is the safest at. Amen. Amen. I believe only urgent necessity should cause her to leave that. I'm saying that she ought to long to be a homebody. She ought to long to be there at her home. Sometimes she has to go out. I understand that. And by the way, where is her home? It's where her husband makes the home. I believe that. It's where her husband... I didn't mean to look over there at Joshua and Katie or at Brother and Sister Bale. Just that's the way I just turned when I turned that way. But it's true in their case. It's true in all our case. Wherever the husband makes the home. Amen. Now, I know that in our society today, women get better job opportunities than men do sometimes. And a lot of times they'll have to move and the man will have to follow her. But that's not the will of God. Amen. It's not the will of God. He sets up the abode and she is to follow Him. Amen. I believe she must live where her husband judges best. Amen. We have an example in the Bible. I won't have you turn there, but you know it very well. A bad example of a woman that's known as a harlot. And it makes a very, very stringent statement about it. It says her feet would not abide at her house. She wouldn't stay at home. Proverbs chapter 7, verse 11 and 12. She is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. Now she is without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. Amen. I can remember when I was a boy, my grandfather, talking to my mom's dad. I mentioned to you before, he was an old man when I got here. I could figure it up. Let me think a minute. He was 52. That's not an old man. But he was 52 when my mama was born. So when I got here, which wasn't but 16 years later, he was an older man. And I thought he was old as the hills. He died when he was 93. And I thought Grandpa was old as the hills. And he'd tell us all kinds of stuff. I remember one thing he told us. We was watching a Western one time. And there's a woman on that Western in a pair of pants. And he said, boys, that ain't right. Now I think every one of his daughters wore pants. As far as I know, every one of them did at one time or another. But he said, boys, that's not right. He said, that's not chronologically right. He said, back in the cowboy days, if a woman was in pants, you knew she was a no good woman. That's what he said. I ain't never forgot that. I didn't know anything was wrong with that. But that's what he said. He said that chronologically, in those days, they would have known that wasn't a good woman. But here's what he talked about a woman that had lived wrong, a woman that had run off and left her husband. That's what he'd say. She wouldn't stay at home. She'd run off and leave her husband. She'd run off and leave her children. That was the phraseology that they used. And it's biblical. It's biblical. Amen. Well, let me get back to this. And I don't mean to get to preaching on that, but it's a need. Amen. There's a need. So, first thing, she shows her reverence to him in that she obeys his directions, and I don't use the word commands because, if we're not careful, you get an awful sidetracked in that. You get real macho, praise God, I'll boss her around. You ain't got good sense if you believe that. Amen. It's not the way, by the way, the way to win a woman is by winning her heart. Same thing with a woman winning a man, it's by their heart. It's not forcing them to do something. Amen. Well, she obeys his directions and his restraints. If he says, don't do that, she ought to not do that. Amen. Number two, she asks his counsel and hears his reproof. By the way, that's why I can give you three instead of six, because each one of these has got two in it, if you notice that. Amen. She obeys his directions and his restraints. She asks his counsel and his reproofs. Hears his reproofs. Although they're just mirror images of the same thing. I talk about the holy women of old. Peter talked about that. The godly women of old and how that they obeyed their husband, how they are an example to husbands today. Here's an example in the Old Testament. You remember Rebecca? Rebecca wanted Jacob gone. She didn't want Esau to kill Jacob. She knew Esau had murder on his mind, murder in his eyes, and so she wanted Jacob gone. So she came up with a plan to get Jacob out of the house. Her plan was to send him down to Padan Aram to get him a wife. But you know what she did first? She asked her husband about it. In Genesis chapter number 27 and verse number 46, the Bible says, "And Rebekah said to Isaac, I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth. If Jacob take a wife of the daughters of Heth, such as these are, which are the daughters of the land, what good shall my life do me?" So she asked Isaac if he'd send Jacob down to Padanaram to get him a wife. And by the way, Isaac did that. When I preached to the men, I said, it's not always wrong to take advice from your wife. Amen. She wasn't commanding him, but she was asking for his counsel. She said, I think this is what we ought to do. And he said, you know, I think you're right. And so that's exactly what they did. Now, I know she was a little deceptive in some of that. And I understand that. Well, here's another one. Not only Rebekah, she didn't send Jacob down without consulting Isaac. Sarah, when Sarah got ready to get rid of Hagar, she asked Abraham about it. Genesis chapter 21, verse number 10. "Wherefore she said unto Abraham, Cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac." Sarah asked Abraham to send her on. And you say, well, that didn't sound like much of a question. There was a question mark at the end of it. Amen. But Sarah wasn't rising up in authority and saying, I'll tell you what, Abraham, I'm throwing Hagar out on her ear. No, she said, Abraham, would you send her away? Don't you see the disruption she's bringing in our home? Don't you see the division that her son is mocking our son and our son is the son of promise? Would you not send him away? In other words, she asked for his counsel. She listened to what he had to say. Amen. Here's another case in the Old Testament. You remember that great woman is in the Bible. Amen. That great woman the Bible talks about. Now, we'd say great big woman, but the Bible didn't say that. The great woman, a Shunammite woman, that seen Elijah coming through. She got the idea that this is a holy man of God. That's what she said. She got the idea we ought to make a little prophet's room for him. That's where we get the idea, and we use that phrase, the prophet's room. Amen. In 2 Kings chapter number 4 and verse number 10, here's what she said. "Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall. And let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick. And it shall be when he cometh to us that he shall turn in thither." Amen. Now she, again, there's not a question mark there. She said, let us do this. But she threw this in. I pray thee. In other words, she said, I'm asking you. I'm imploring you. I'm asking you, wouldn't this be a good idea? Amen. And I said it's not wrong for the husband to take the wife's advice every now and then. It's also not wrong for her to ask his advice every now and then. I know what our modern TV shows have said. They've said he's a doofus. He don't know squat.
Right.
Amen. You know it's true that the dad and I don't know what modern TV shows was, but what they was 30 years ago when we got rid of our television, the dads was the idiots of the country. But God said the right thing for her to do is to ask his advice. Amen. Now, I will say this, and again, I'm moving on. Y'all ain't egging me on a whole lot. I won't say that the men are afraid to, but Brother Milby said, he said, all right, men, you can say amen. I won't let her hurt you. That's what he said one time. It wasn't about this. It was about something else he was preaching on. Amen. But I will say this about her asking his advice. He doesn't need to be bothered, if I could say it that way, with every trivial decision.
Amen.
But he should be consulted in all major decisions. Amen. The wife's hardest task, now hang with me right here. I should say at least one of the wife's hardest tasks is hearing and receiving a reproof from her husband and doing it lovingly and thankfully. Sometimes he'll say, you shouldn't have done that. And maybe you shouldn't have. He'll have that responsibility. He's supposed to be the one that's the head of the house. Amen. And he might have to say, you shouldn't have done that. and be right about it. You know what you should do is receive that reproof lovingly. I made a mistake. I'm sorry. I should ask you. Whatever the case is, receive it lovingly and thankfully. I'll tell you, it's hard for anybody, but it's especially hard if she's proud. It's especially hard if she's contentious. Well, I'll have you know, I know more about this than you do. That's not the right attitude to have. Amen. Amen. Now, I don't go telling my wife how to cook beans, because I don't know beans, about cooking beans. I don't. Some of you men know about cooking. That's fine. I don't. I purposefully don't. I don't ask my wife anything about washing dishes. I don't know nothing about it. Don't want to. That sounds chauvinistic, don't it? But it's the truth. But at the same time, then I don't ask her about construction work, because that's not what she knows about. It's what I know about. But there's things that we can work together in this. But there are things when we need to ask one another and get each other's advice. She needs to do that with him. He needs to do that with her, especially major issues. Amen. Well, remember this. I'll say this to the ladies. I'm talking about receiving a reproof from your husband. Ladies, remember that you also have faults. And nobody can see your faults better than your husband can. Amen. Don't speak to him harshly when he reproves something that you've done. Don't be ungracious to him. Reverence him. That's what the Bible says. Show reverence. And by the way, if the wife properly reverences her husband, when he does have to say, listen, let's don't do that again, it'll be an easier pill for her to swallow if she really respects him like she ought to. Amen. Amen. Number three. Whew. Number three. She maintains a respectful and cheerful attitude at all times. That's how a godly wife can show reverence to her husband. You say, preacher, that's impossible. If you knew my husband, I can't be cheerful and respectful all the time. None of you have said that to me. I'm not letting out secrets that somebody's told us in the office and in some conference. No. But it's the truth. None of us feel like we can be happy and respectful at all times, but that is the best way to show respect to somebody. You remember when the king, I forgot his name now, but when Nehemiah was sorrowful before the king, and it was against the law for them to be sorrowful before the king. You know why? Because they felt like it disrespected the king. She ought to love her husband so much that she'd do her best not to give in to irritability. Amen. Not to give in to gloominess. Amen. Especially when he's happy, she ought to try her best to rejoice with them that do rejoice. Amen. Or on the other hand, if he's gloomy, don't go in there and be shouting all over him. Well, praise God, it's good. I'm so glad you're upset. Praise God. Hallelujah. No, that don't work either. Amen. I'm saying it'd be best for us to try to work together in these things. Amen. Amen. Well, we ought to... The wife, I'm back to the wife. Let her express contentedness in the things that she's been provided for. He's her provider. Rather than complaining about things, she ought to be thankful for what's been provided for her. Amen. She ought to be thankful for the position that she's got in the home. And she ought to have a sweet disposition, by the way, so that he will enjoy coming home. So that he will enjoy being at home. Be careful that you don't act in such a way that your attitude causes him to want to stay away.
Right.
Amen. Again, there's Bible for that. Solomon said, Proverbs 21:19, it is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and an angry woman. Amen. Wives, how do you show respect to your husband? By trying to make the home a happy place. By trying to make the home a loving place. Amen. Greet him. Well, I won't say you always have to greet him at the door with a kiss, but it ain't going to hurt nothing. You might want to have the smelling salts the first time you do it. in case he passes out. I probably told you that story. Let me tell this before I go on, because humor helps us, all right? I probably told the story about this boy that went to Vision years ago. He said that one day he came home from work. His wife, they had 10 children, by the way. And she homeschooled them. She stayed there with them. He worked. He went. I won't go into too much detail because somebody will know who it was. But he got up real early in the morning. I mean, real, real early in the morning. Started his route and his work. And he said one day he came home and he thought on the way home, he thought, you know, I'll surprise my wife with a dozen roses. And so he said he came home and he came to the door and he said she's standing there and she's crying. And he said, he pulls out them roses and he said when she did, she just, I mean, just went to pieces. She said, I thought it couldn't get any worse. He said, what? And she told him about one of the kids had spilt some paint in the floor or ink and something in the floor. And while she was trying to clean that up, another one had done something else. And she just told all these different things how bad her day had been. And she said, and top it all off, you come home drunk. Because he never brought roses. Amen. All right. Well, let's get back there. Amen. Make the home a happy place. Make the home a place of pleasure. Amen. Find out what he likes as far as meals. They say the way to a man's heart is through his stomach, especially if he's got heart in his stomach. Amen. It is. Find out what kind of foods he likes. It'll cheer things up. Find out how he likes his clothes and different things such as that. And do your best to try to keep the house like he likes it to be, conform to his pleasure. Again, you're showing respect to him. You're showing reverence to him in doing those things. Amen. And try to keep down these sharp arguments that sometimes arise. Amen. One more thing before I get to my conclusion on this. Be very careful, ladies, I'm serious with this. Be very careful that you don't allow your familiarity with him to breed contempt. You've heard that phrase, familiarity breeds contempt. Can I say this? You know his strengths as well as his weaknesses. You know his shortcomings like nobody else knows. You know his failures like nobody else knows. Now remember, who can play at that game? He knows your weaknesses as well as your strengths. Amen. Be careful. Be careful that you don't allow those things that you know to be disrespectful, to be dishonorable. A good thing to do in both cases, husband and wife, is maximize their strengths and minimize their weaknesses. Amen. Push those things aside that are not necessary. And notice, amen, remember those strengths. Amen. And don't always be bringing it up. Husband or wife, don't always be bringing it up. Nobody likes to be constantly reprimanded or reminded of their failures. Because we all have failures. Perhaps he might be a hard man and hard to get along with. I'm careful who I look at when I do that. No, I'm kidding. He might be a hard man, hard to get along with, but he's your husband. You said for better or worse. You took him. And by the way, it does good in both cases for the husband and the wife to remember what brought you to the marriage altar to start with. Man. What caused you to want to start this life together and keep it going that way. Amen. Amen. Perhaps he is hard to get along with, but you're duty bound to love him in spite of his hardness and ask God to work on him and ask God to tender him. Or perhaps there's the other hand. Perhaps he's a loving man, a tender man. He doesn't have many demands or many requirements. Be careful that you don't forget your duty to show respect for him, show love for him. Amen. Work. Increase your efforts to work at making him happy. And I'll say this, if you find a wife that does these things, a wife that dotes on her husband, grandmas used to dote on grandpas. Amen. My mom's dad and my mom's mom, I mentioned that, they're old. And my grandma died when I was 12, so I don't remember. But I do remember this. Grandpa sat on the couch, and I mean, he didn't have to ask for it. It just seemed like she knew what he wanted. She'd bring it to him. Or she'd ask him, well, you want this or that? And just doting on him. She babied him. Amen. You say, sound to me like you're trying to help the husbands. I am. Exactly. It'll help the wives. It'll help the home. It'll help our society. Amen. If that word that's used in our King James Bible that we don't use much, what's her number one job? That word, reverence. That's a pretty big word. That's a pretty big word. It's a pretty powerful word. Amen. If you find a wife that dotes on her husband, you'll find a happy man. And if he's wise, you'll find a man that'll fight tooth and nail to take care of that wife. Because he recognizes the value and he sincerely loves his wife. Amen. I'm going to stop right there. And in conclusion, I'm going to say this. You know, some husbands and wives, they'll just disregard all this counsel. They'll say, oh, that's old fuddy-duddy stuff. And they'll have this excuse. Some of them will say, you know, nobody can live up to all that. Can I tell you that your excuse mocks God? Because what I've preached about is exactly what God said. That a husband is to do and a wife is to do. And if you mock God, I guess I'd just say it like the Bible. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. He punishes those that try to mock Him. And you don't want your home to be devastated because it's under the wrath of God or under the judgment of God. Husband or wife, you don't want that. You want the blessing of God and the smile of God upon it. Amen. I believe that a true Christian is marked. One of the ways you can tell a person is a true Christian is that they fundamentally submit to the Word of God. I mean, basically, it is that they submit to God. Whatever God wants, that's what they want. And they trust God through the thick and the thin. Let's stand to our feet as they come with a song. We'll bow our heads and close our eyes. Again, it's not been an easy message as far as these things are hard. In a sense, it's hard to do. But it's just obedience to God. And really, I go back to what He said about Sarah and them godly women of the past. They trusted God. Preacher, I don't know what it might make my husband a monster if I give in to him. If it does, God knows how to kill monsters. More than likely it won't, though. More than likely what it'll do is it'll start getting the blessings of God on it. Amen. That rather than him being a monster, you know what'll happen? All the fairy tales, you know what'll happen? Your kisses will turn that toad into a charming prince. Amen. You say, how did they come up with that in them fairy tales? Because it's a reality. It's a truth. I believe it's a truth of God's Word that when we obey God, God can even make a toad into a prince charming if we'll just respond right. Trust in God. Believe in God. Heavenly Father, I love You. Thank You for the Word of God. Help me be the husband I ought to be. Lord, help all these men to be the husbands they ought to be. Lord, help my wife and all these wives be the wife they ought to be for Your glory and honor. Not so that I can just brag on my wife, though I love to, and Lord, I love her and appreciate her. But Lord, so that God can be glorified, so that we can see the blessings of God in our life and in the things we do. Help us, Lord, in our failures, because we all have them. Help us in our shortcomings. And again, I say we all have them, but it's not an excuse. Help us, dear God, to overcome those things. Help us to work on those things. Just like the wife, when the dust, who knows where it comes from, starts gathering up again, she'll go through and clean it up. She may have to do that again and again and again. And we may have to do that in our life. Our failures come, who knows where they come from sometimes. They just seem to be there again and again. Help us, dear God, to work on them. Help us to get out our spiritual dustpan and our duster and clean it up again. Bring you glory and honor. Lord, work in our homes. Help us for your glory. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.